So when you turn the page in your Bible to James chapter 1, verses 19 to 27, the Bible is the guidebook for the Christian faith. We turn to the Bible to get answers for the questions that we have in life. And it becomes our standard, our authority over the years. So let's listen to James chapter 1, 19 to 27. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself, and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and keep oneself from being polluted by the world. This is the word of God. Let's pause for it. Heavenly Father, so often we skim over your word. We don't take it seriously. Therefore, in our lives, it doesn't seem to change us or help us to be better people or better followers of Jesus. But today, Lord, as we look at this small portion of the Bible, we ask that you would help us to understand better. And we ask that in Jesus' name, Amen. The Bible, highly revered, but seldom read. That was the headline for a Christianity Today magazine article reporting the results of a Gallup poll on the habits of North Americans toward Christianity. 42% said that the Bible was God's word. But the article went on to say, there was a time when people were more biblically literate. They took pains to learn the Bible because they acknowledged its authority not only in principle but also in their daily life. Having committed its teachings to their hearts, they made it a lamp unto their feet. They hid it away in their hearts as a hedge against sin. But those days have passed. We are to ever recover the authority of Scripture for our lives, we need to fill our minds with its content. We need a recommitment to letting the Bible matter in our lives. Now, I think the writer of James, this epistle we have, this letter to new Christians in Jerusalem, he could have written it, because most of you could have agreed with it more. knowing that belief must impact behavior. And he insists that the word that is learned must link with the word that is lived. His requirement is simple. Do what it says. The book says in verse 22, do what it says. And in this passage of Scripture, he tells us how to react to the Word of God and then respond immediately to its command. Well, first of all, how should we react to the Word of God? Verses 19 to 21 tell us that. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word that is planted in you, which can save you. Now, James addressed the Christians and says that it's clear that the word everyone includes all Christians. It's not just the Jerusalem Christians he's talking about. He's talking about everyone. And he calls for three reactions that will prepare us to properly receive the word of God. The Bible, he says, will make little impact on our lives until we are alert, until we are calm, and until we are clean. So first of all, he says, be alert, in verse 19, be quick to listen. Now, we really do need good listeners in our society today. We have lots of fathers. There are people talking to us all the time. I had an incident yesterday afternoon, kind of unnerving. This fellow came to my gate and, in a sense, he was accusing me of not paying enough attention to him. And he talked all the time. I couldn't hardly get a word in his mind. And I'm thinking to myself, God, what is this all about? You're just getting ready to come to the barbecue, so how dirty is that, you know? I finally said, look, I'm sorry, but I can't listen to you right now. If you want to get in touch with me and phone me up and say, look, can I come and talk to you about what's happening in my life, I will be very glad to listen to you. But he just talked. So, become a good listener in our society. Three friends went in the town on a very noisy train. And the first said, isn't it me? And the second said, no, I think Thursday. To which the third replied, so am I, let's go get something to drink. But you see, you can hear people say things. So quick to listen means to be eager and attentive, ready to receive and understand the message that you need to hear. So listen well to increase your knowledge of the Word of God, the Word of Truth. Now, really listening to someone, whether it be your spouse or whether it be your boss, has the potential to open up incredible new possibilities of change in our lives. Really listening has often changed the course of human history. Leonard Mosley wrote an biography of the late American Secretary of State, John Foster Dulles. I don't know if you remember him. He tells of one experience that Dulles had at the beginning of his diplomatic career that may have had an immense effect on the course of human history. In 1917, Dulles was serving on the staff of the American Embassy in Bern, Switzerland. Late one afternoon in April, his phone rang. A heavily accented man, introducing himself as Vladimir Ilyich Lenin, urgently asked to speak to someone at the embassy later in the day. But most of the senior staff had already left, and Donald had an important date with a very nice young lady, you know. So he told them to come to the embassy when it opened at 10 the next morning. Lenin protested, but Dulles remained firm, and he hung up the phone. Lenin never did come to the embassy. That evening, he journeyed back to Russia by train and took full control of the fledgling Russian Revolution. And Dulles often reflected later in his career the possible difference it might have made to millions of people had he taken the time to listen to a Russian exile that April afternoon of 1917. So, can listening make a difference? Can it change the direction of human lives? Well, if we truly believe that God speaks to us through His Word, we then need to ask ourselves the question, what difference will it make to my life if I carefully be alert and listen to God? Then he says we are to be calm, right? We are to be slow to speak and slow to become angry. Anger and quick speech are often linked together because anger, of course, is most often expressed verbally. How often I have personally regretted quick, angry words I have said and the wounding effect that they have had on other people's lives. Most often from the people I love. And don't you ever for a minute believe that old children's rhyme that sticks and stones will break my bones but words will never hurt me. That is not true. Words can wound in ways that last for years. Let's be slow to speak, slow to become angry. It's incredibly important. James says it well in this passage when he says in verse 20, man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. And then he says that we are to be clean, and we may kind of wonder about this. Well, I think that means that we have to get rid of some things in our lives before God's Word will grow and flourish. He suggests that our lives are like a garden. And the things that we plant in that garden are the kind of fruit that we will produce. You don't plant potatoes and expect to get corn. One of the absolute actions of life is that we reap what we sow. So we need to ask ourselves, what habits are we sowing in our lives? For instance, are we truthful people, or do we lie regularly to the point that people can no longer trust us? Do you have a generous spirit? Or are you really a greedy person at heart? Is there something going on in your life spiritually that is draining you and driving you away from God? So these bad habits that may be growing in the gardens of our lives can choke out God's word, just like weeds in my garden. And we can miss what God is saying to us. Words which have the potential to literally save us. And that's how important James sees this. So then he goes on to talk about how we're not to react to the Word of God. And we find that basically in verses 22 to 27. So he introduces a favorite topic of his, a faith that produces. Verse 22. Do not merely listen to the word, so deceive yourself. Do what it says. He reminds us that what we learn in the secret place must be lived out in our lives in the public place. If you go back into the gospel, you'll soon see that Jesus never called anyone to just be a listener. His call is always to follow and to go. And then James clearly reminds himself of the words of Jesus. When Jesus says in Luke 11:28, blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it. And he talks about this person looking into a mirror, the one who hears without acting upon it, who he compares to a person who sees in a mirror but quickly forgets what he has seen. Now, I have to tell you, I use the mirror every day. Maybe you do too. The mirror reflects a clear image, an honest image of what we look like. It doesn't tell us who we are inside, but it tells us what we look like. And that particular day, we want to look good. Maybe we've got an important appointment at work. Maybe we've got a date with our spouse or our girlfriend or boyfriend that night, and we want to look good. We use the mirror to tell us that. It's an honest reflection of who we are. But the person who looks in the mirror sees himself or herself and then doesn't do anything about it, what's that all about? Now, of course, you can look in the mirror lost and what it does to create vanity, and that's a different kind of problem. I must say, I have one daughter, I love her dearly, but man, she cannot go by a mirror without. And now that we've got the advent of cell phones, I get more selfies of this daughter on my Facebook account than anybody else. Now I know where that all comes from. When she was a little kid, she was in Children's Hospital in Alberta, in Calgary, and she wasn't expected to live. Her mother had given up, and for 2 years, she was called the miracle baby on ward with. They had pictures of her up on the wall, and she got all kinds of attention. It was a tough thing for her to get into our house where there were 8 other people and realize that she could not be the center of attention anymore. So, looking in the mirror can cause some other problems. But we use God's word as it truly should be used, let it act as the mirror of our lives, giving us a standard up against which we are measuring our lives, then it's incredibly useful. But if we simply turn away and do not let it improve us or change us, then the purpose of God's word is defeated in our lives. Several years ago, the annual convention of the American Heart Association met in Atlanta, Georgia, and thousands of doctors, nurses, and researchers gathered to discuss, among other things, the importance of low-fat diet and the part they play in keeping our hearts healthy. I had a small heart attack a little over 5 years ago, and so I was required to go to the Healthy Heart course. And that's what they talked about. That's what they told us. Well, at this particular convention, some smart aleck researcher did some checking around and found that during meal times, these people consume fat-filled fast food, such as double bacon cheeseburger and fries, and at about the same rate as people from other walks. And when one started all of it, was asked whether or not he was partaking in these high-fat meals, set a bad example to people, he replied, "Oh, not me. I took my name tag off." Isn't it amazing how we disconnect our behavior from our knowledge? Because, you see, the purpose of listening to truth is to do something about it. So James says that the doer of the word looks into the perfect law of liberty, the gospel that gives us freedom, and continues on in living out that faith in the world. Well, he simply practices what he preaches. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to have a pulpit either in a church or out on the street corner. It means simply going about the ordinary things of life and acting Christ-like in it all. And the experience becomes liberating. It expects us freely to be the kind of person that God intended us to be in the first place. That's the kind of thing that draws people to Jesus. When they see us as Christians consistently living out our lives in the marketplace, practicing what we preach. And then God has an opportunity to work in their hearts, hearts that are already going to be prepared because of what we do with what we believe. Now, James closes this little section in his letter by reflecting on some of those acts, anything that fits strange to us, but they're important. And he could have said a whole lot of other things. He says that we have already mentioned that it might mean keeping a tight rein on our tongue, using moral restraint in the face of abuse or anger. It means exercising social concern for others, caring for the needy and the uncared for in our society. And finally, it says that we just have to keep a close watch on ourselves, that we don't let ourselves get down in the gutter where it is so easy to become polluted by the world. So, how can we sum this up? Well, it can all be summed up by going back to the beginning again and hearing the words of James when he says, "Do not merely listen to the word. Do what it says. Just do it. Practice what you preach." Amen? Let's pray. Lord, big words of Scripture can be liberating for us if we allow the Holy Spirit to take them and mold them into our lives so that they become a part of the fabric of who we are. So Lord, this week particularly, as we have studied this, make us more sensitive to practicing what we preach, living out what we believe. And Father, it would be great if we could see some results, not only in our own life, but in the lives of other people. We ask this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.